What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You know, none of your businesses, when that happens, is a component of the consideration.
Mike Tomlin, he is unchanging. He's the same guy, win or lose.
Man, we're in the midst of some thick.
It gets a little gruffer when you lose and your playoff run ends quickly or ends after one game. Though I'm not sure anybody's real surprised with the way the Steelers finished up the regular season, losing their last four games and the offense really scuffling more like it was at the beginning of the season. So the question marks for the Steelers abound, though it does not in any way seem likely that a coaching change is on the horizon. Though, you know what? I was surprised with Mike McCarthy and Dallas parting ways. It sounds like from the various reporting and also our conversation with insider John Machota of The Athletic earlier on the show that, yes, the Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones family did want McCarthy to return as head coach, but they couldn't quite agree on the path moving forward. A lot of speculation about whether or not it was terms and how many years might be part of a new deal. Ultimately, though, Monday decide to go a different direction. And now I wonder, will Mike McCarthy get a job first or will the Cowboys find their next head coach first? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We are through the wild card round and the emotional display on Monday for those fans who made the trek to Arizona, about 400 miles away from L.A. According to Roger Goodell, yeah, most of them were Rams fans. He did an interview on the set with Joe Buck there at ESPN before the game kicked off, and he was talking about the decision to move this Rams-Vikings game to the desert and away from L.A. so it was not to take resources from the L.A. community where first responders and security and law enforcement are so desperately needed to help the people there.
When we made that decision, the league comes together, and we have preparations for what we call contingency plans, includes two stadiums every week. And this was a perfect fit as far as the location for the Los Angeles Rams fans. And I'm proud to say 45,000 of them made the trip over here, which is just extraordinary to me. But everybody came together, and Michael Bidwell and the Cardinals are at the top of that list.
Did you hear what Joe Buck said during the broadcast? I thought this was amazing. And I know it's been reported too, but the owner of the Cardinals, Mr. Bidwell, he sent a couple of his planes over to L.A. to retrieve the Rams, the coaching staff, people who work for the franchise, and their families. And this is kind of the cherry on top. I think this is really neat. Something the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did as well when their team needed to get to New Orleans and evacuate ahead of the hurricane on those two planes from L.A. that were taking care of the Rams and their franchise. There were six dogs and two cats. I am assuming that some people left their pets, not behind, but left their pets with friends or family, or maybe they have regular house and pet sitters, because I'm sure that group of people, 600 of them, have more than just six dogs and two cats. I actually wondered about the full number, how many of the pets they chose not to bring. I know a friend of mine who lives in L.A., is an L.A. native, works in L.A. He has a parrot. an exotic bird, an African parrot, I believe. And he was really nervous about doing any type of work or leaving his home for a longer period of time over the last week because he was worried about what might happen with his parrot. And so I can imagine the stress for pets and then the stress for families who, for some reason, believe they can't take their pets with them. That's heartbreaking. All around, what's happening in LA has been so tough for so many millions of people. The stress, of course, the fear, not to mention those who've actually lost their homes or lost loved ones, which is at the extreme. And still, there's more fire danger. The winds I've heard described potentially this week could be hurricane force winds, which means that fire danger is not over. And there are many more people, or maybe even some of the same people who evacuated before and were able to go home. Could they have to evacuate again? So as the Rams are thinking about their friends and their families back home, I know many of you are in the same boat as me. I've got a bunch of friends in the LA area, and I've been routinely reaching out to them. Some have had to evacuate. Some are back home. Others are housing people that had to evacuate from their own areas, their own homes that were in this dangerous zones. So it's devastating. It's stressful. I had one friend in LA describe it as surreal. You almost can't believe it's happening, even though you're living it and you're walking it out over the course of the week. So I appreciate that the NFL owners wanted to do what they could to help the Rams, and that includes using a different stadium for this game on Monday night. And Roger Goodell was saying that it's not just about Michael Bidwell, the Cardinals owner, opening up a stadium, though they did a great job in getting it ready for a wild card game. It's really about everybody pitching in and understanding that, hey, at some point this could be happening to us and our people, a hurricane, a different type of a natural disaster.
We like to say the league is 32 clubs, and they compete, as you know, very hard on game days. But they come together and they support one another, and they did that here. Every one of them, you know, had their hands out, their arms out, whatever they could do to provide resources to help.
And then, of course, it was about the game. But if you saw, whether it was the Rams walking in to the stadium or if you saw the post-game locker room with the Rams, a lot of them had either T-shirts or hats that were repping the LA Fire Department. And among their first comments, almost to a man, post-game, the Rams were first talking about their community and the people in LA. So I do always believe and see, I think we see the evidence that sports have this innate ability to help us heal. They bring us together. And maybe it's too soon. LA is not at the point where this is behind them. They're still very much in the middle of this tragedy, in the middle of this fire danger. So not to the point where you can heal particularly and have closure and put it behind you, but there's so many people that need help. And I've heard different things about parking lots and arenas and even SoFi being an area where people are bringing donations and where there's drives being organized for food, for clothing, for people who've lost so much. And yet putting a sports team out there on a field or the court or the ice, the Lakers and the Clippers were both back playing on Monday after a couple of different postponements because of the fires. The fact that there were thousands of fans that made the trip indicates that there's still a place for sports as long as it's done well, as long as it's done with sensitivity, as long as it's done in a mindful way that doesn't put more people at danger, but also is respectful of the bigger picture. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me online at A-Law Radio, then our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we've got our phone number. A few people have weighed in about thumbs up, thumbs down over Wildcard Weekend. I sometimes wonder if it's too watered down with the 14 teams, but we did get a great game between Commanders and Buccaneers, and we had some other games that were closer at halftime, even if it felt like one team was more dominant. And the score is the score, right? And I still say once we get the TV viewership numbers from this weekend, we're going to see once again that the NFL drives the bus and people flock to watch these games, especially Ravens Steelers. I'm kind of interested to see how Amazon Prime does when it comes to its first ever playoff game on what was a Saturday night. So those will start to filter in. Those numbers will start to filter in as we head through this week And then, of course, we've got divisional weekend, which just sets us up for some dynamic battles. The Rams are the last team to get into the divisional round. And I think it's amazing the way some matchups tend to favor teams so heavily. And you can see a pattern. The Rams, they started out 1-4, and then they got healthy, and that defense started to come together. Sean McVay, he's talked about taking a more active role with his team. But do you know, against the Vikings, they were amazing. That defense looked world class against the Vikings more than once this season, once in the regular season and again in the playoffs. And Sam Darnold didn't finish strong. I don't know if that changes his future with Minnesota, but this was a first half kind of similar to how the Lions were able to dominate against the Vikings a week ago. Not the way that Darnold would want to finish. And Kevin O'Connell after the game talking about, hey, the body of work for Sam is what we want to remember. I just know that to finish like this for the Vikings, it almost doesn't indicate how good they were during the regular season, except when they played the Lions and except when they played the Rams, who had their number.
Darnold against the rush. Blitz coming. He's hit. Ball down.
Scoop.
Scooped up. Byron Young. Vanage got it. Jared Verse has it. Down the right sideline with blockers. 10-5.
Touchdown.
A leap in the end zone. The defensive rookie of the year with a scoop and score.
Oh, no. I told him 1,000 times. I said, if I ever get a touchdown, I'm going to tweak out. But I was too tired. I was too far away. I was expecting it to be on like the goal line, so I was going to dunk on the field goal post, but I was too tired. I just had to jump in.
It was too far, he said. I was too far away. So he somersaulted into the end zone. I was nervous that he was going to drop the ball and have one of those moments where a guy gets all excited and then actually doesn't finish scoring the touchdown. But he did. You hear the call with J.B. Long there on Rams radio. And he said, I was too tired to tweak. All right. Well, still, the defensive player of the week, he is Jared Verse, the rookie who comes up with this incredible moment for the fans who made it all the way to L.A. The linebacker out of Florida State. He was a top 20 pick by the Rams last year and a major reason why they've been able to pick up the slack, if you will, in the wake of Aaron Donald's retirement and just believing that the defense got better and better over the course of the year and they could go toe-to-toe. It's not just about Matthew Stafford and the offense that can put up points in bunches. It's also about what the defense has been able to do. And our Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Now, I suppose we could look down the Rams pass rush and the roster of defenders and start counting the number of guys who had sacks on Monday night, because that was also a major theme. Sam Darnold was under siege about three quarters of the time that he dropped back. It's really difficult to throw accurately or to allow the plays to develop to deliver the ball downfield to your great weapons when you are constantly under siege. And he was not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight, but how many sacks of Sam Darnold?
21 of the Vikings, their quarterback Darnold. That's the shotgun snap. And pump fakes, it grabbed in the ninth sack. Back at the 9, Dejon Johnson comes through and makes a sack.
Shotgun snap, Darnold on 2nd down and 10. Looking left all the way, has to pull it down. He's thrown down at the 10. The Los Angeles Rams extend their postseason record as Dejon Johnson has the 9th of the night.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One and J.B. Long combining together for that NFL record-tying 9th sack in a playoff game. And I know as I was listening to Westwood One post-game, Kurt Warner, the Hall of Fame quarterback, was talking about how Sam Darnold was holding the ball too long. It's one thing to feel the pass rush, to know it's there, to understand that you're under siege. And the offensive line did not do a great job in front of him. The protection wasn't great. And That's one piece of it. But the other piece of it is you just can't hang on to the ball. If you go through your first three options, and this is what Kurt was saying, go through your first three options, your first three reads. If there's nothing there, get rid of the ball because you don't have time to do anything else. And it, one particular moment where he was really critical of Sam because they were in field goal range and a sack knocked them out of field goal range. And that's just something as a quarterback you have to reflect on. And you have to recognize that you can't take sacks in those particular situations. So Sam, certainly understanding his role in all of this. But again, this is not how the Vikings wanted to finish with back-to-back tough offensive games.
I'm 100% responsible for the football and what happens to it. And for me, it's up to me to be able to feel that and either step up, move, go run for a first down, or just simply throw it away. You know, I felt like, there were a lot of sacks today that you know, I was responsible for.
I thought we gave up some pressure, a couple of those there where they were able to scheme up a guy here or there that on paper you have accounted for, but it doesn't matter on paper.
Yeah. Kevin O'Connell, true words spoken. 9 sacks allowed by the O-line and Sam Darnold and the protection, whether it's tight ends, whether it's running backs trying to pick up the protection. 12 quarterback hits. How about that? It wasn't just the 9 sacks. It was that he was constantly under pressure and didn't really have a whole lot of time for the play to develop. And when you look at the stats, too, they were able to run the ball a little bit. So between Aaron Jones, Cam Akers, seemed like they committed to the run a little bit too long. I was kind of waiting for them to throw the ball more, but that's also tough when you don't have time. They were over 100 yards. The stats weren't terrible in the end, other than the sack numbers, but a lot of that was when this game was kind of out of reach and the Rams doing most of their damage in that first half. An emotional night for the Rams in their locker room, advancing to the next round of the playoffs, the divisional round, winning their first postseason game since they won the Super Bowl a few seasons ago. And to a man, they all mentioned LA. So we'll hear that coming up. What is the TD of the week? Jared Verse and his touchdown, his first ever touchdown, is a candidate. You can find that poll at Amy After Hours and also on my Twix and then our Facebook page too. Oh, I didn't put it up there. Oh, that's my bad. I'll do that now. I just got sacked by the Rams defense myself. So you can find it there within minutes. 855-212-4227. Good morning to you on a Tuesday. It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network.
Play fake, boot out to the left side. Matthew flips his hip, fires middle, alone at the goal line. His tailback, Kyren Williams. Touchdown, LA! 7 plays, 70 yards. The Rams strike first on this wild card Monday. 1st and 10 from the 13-yard line. Stafford, cool as can be, takes the snap. Looking left, comes off that read. Side on throw, to the 9, to the 5, to the end zone! Touchdown, Davis Allen! Touchdown, LA!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Matthew Stafford and that Rams offense were near perfect in the early stages of their wild card game against the Vikings, really having no trouble finding a rhythm right out of the gate. And this wasn't their stadium, but they had a lot of fans who made some noise as they entered the field of play. Stafford with a pair of touchdown passes, both in the first half. So opening drive and then 15 seconds to go in the second quarter. The calls with J.B. Long on Rams radio. And he didn't even target Cooper Kupp until the second half. Cooper had just one catch. It was a dynamic catch in which he had to go back behind the defender to get it and slid down on the ground to make sure he cradled it. Not quite as dramatic as Ty Johnson, but you get the idea. Cooper Kupp can make those kind of plays. He's terrific body control and great focus. But it was a lot of Puka Nacua. It was a lot of Kyren Williams early on. We even saw Tyler Higbee with a few catches in there as well. Davis Allen with just the one catch, but it was for a touchdown. And this is what Stafford and his experience can do. Sean McVay, of course, has been there nearly a decade. Their Super Bowl combo together. That experience, I think, does give the offense an edge. The defense, though, stepped up in a major way. And right after the game, they do the celebration. They mention community in the locker room. They're wearing the LAFD t-shirts and hats. And yeah, to navigate what was going on at home and still focus on a playoff game, it was a juggling act last week.
It's been a difficult week, so just proud of this group and happy that we could come out and play the way we did tonight. Give the people back home something to cheer about for a little bit.
Once we got here, I think that offered, you know, just a chance to kind of exhale. Now let's lock in. Let's all be in the same place. Let's have two really good days of preparation, and then let's peak at the right time. And our guys certainly did that. It seems like we've been here for a while. It seems like we were waiting on this game for a long time, and this Philly game will come really quickly.
It definitely will, especially since they have to travel cross country and get to Philadelphia. So it's one thing to go just a few 100 miles to get to Arizona, a place where you're familiar. It's entirely another now to get ready and navigate a game against the Eagles. So it's the ones that play on Saturday, the one seeds that host Saturday, and the two seeds that play on Sunday. So at least it's not a shorter work week. Sean McVay proud of what he got from not just his veteran Matthew Stafford, but also from that defense.
Matthew was outstanding from the jump. We put the ball in his hands, thought he really did a great job of orchestrating two scoring drives right from the jump. And then really defensively, you can't say enough about them. You know, getting 9 sacks, getting the defensive touchdown for Verse. I thought Ethan Evans was outstanding again. Really proud of him.
Honestly, you win a game in the playoffs, it's awesome, you know, and you extend your season, you know, one more week, and that's what we've guaranteed ourselves. You know, obviously a lot of work to be done now, you know, between the time, you know, we get back home, and I'm assuming we're able to practice at home. I don't really know that, but it feels great.
How about that? They don't actually know whether or not they'll be able to practice at home because of what's going on in LA still. So as much as it may feel as though they've got this all behind them, there are still challenges to navigate as they move forward in the postseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Caught this clip from Les Snead. Remember his t-shirt not that long ago, F Them Picks? That was after they won the Super Bowl, and they had essentially mortgaged all their draft capital to get the pieces that they wanted. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl before he got injured. They had brought in Von Miller. They brought in a bunch of guys that they felt like could help them get over the hump, and they did. It worked, but then there was kind of that sojourn into no man's land while they were trying to rebuild. Now, last year was a bit of a surprise as a wild card, and they felt like they were a little bit ahead of schedule, but wanted to build on that this year. Aaron Donald retired. They started out 1-4. There were a bunch of guys injured. Both Puka and Cooper Kupp were out, but they finished strong. And here they've got their 6th playoff appearance in 8 seasons.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Season's first playoff win since the Super Bowl. And I like what Les Snead had to say about how they've done it.
It's very fulfilling. We're very appreciative. There's definitely moments. There's certain parts of the calendar, right, when you're not pressing ahead, when you're not preparing for the next decision, next game, that whatever, where we do sit down, Sean, myself, and go, wow, this is something special that we've been a part of, that we've, you know, engineered, that we work together in the entire building. What I'm trying to say is what we often do in those moments is, okay, what we definitely have here is continuity, and can we intentionally try to use continuity as a way to get an edge? And that's, we talk about that a lot.
It's the opposite of one of my favorite phrases. And by favorite, I just mean it's something that I really rely on, that constant change equals constant losing in sports. And they've had some real continuity at the top. Now they've changed a bunch of pieces, and it took, as I say, a little bit of break from the playoffs for them to get back to the point where they could reestablish themselves. And even earlier in the season, starting out and having to make changes, but to have not just a general manager, but a head coach who give you that continuity and that consistency, but also who can speak to the new people that are coming in about, here's how we do things. Matthew Stafford, remember how his wife outed him? Maybe she was exaggerating, but on her podcast at the beginning of last season, how Matthew was doing all he could to try to identify and relate and communicate with the young dudes that were on the team. And he had to go and kind of apologize to his team and just say, hey, that's not really accurate, blah, 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 whatever. Thanks, Kelly. And so she said he was having a hard time. It was like a whole new world, him trying to navigate a locker room that had so many young guys right after they won the Super Bowl. But he's obviously done it, and he's a major piece of that. It's important what Matthew brings to the table. He is widely respected because he is a Super Bowl winner, because he's a guy that had, you know, brought this new life to the Rams, and after he was traded from Detroit, finally had his shot at a Super Bowl. I mean, this is a champion, and so of course you're going to listen to what he has to say. Not to mention Cooper Kupp, who's been with them now as was a Super Bowl MVP, but it's also a Triple Crown season. Here's Puka Nacua, who comes in and instantly that connection with Matthew Stafford makes him great. And certainly Kyren Williams and the way that he's elevated back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Other guys, too, like Atwell and Higbee. So the fact that you've got a Matthew Stafford who can extend that culture onto the field, into the locker room, all of that consistency and kind of continuity from the top down makes a big difference to the rest of the Rams organization. So I like that. Again, it's the opposite of what you've got with teams and franchises that are constantly changing. So Les Snead on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Mitt, so we were talking about the Patriots and their coaching hire and Mike Vrabel and him getting introduced on Monday. And this idea that the Patriots have kind of fallen into a space here where it's been too many years of changing. Now, I know Belichick, he's only been gone a couple seasons, but since Tom Brady, they've had to change quarterbacks quite a few times. They have a Cam Newton in there. Oh my gosh. Remember the New England Cam Newton era? Yes, I'm using my air quotations. Then it was Mac Jones. Jacoby Brissett they brought back. There's been some Brian Hoyer. Now there's Drake May, and they feel like they've got the right guy. But you can very quickly get stuck in it's purgatory when you're constantly changing things, whether it's coaches and GMs. I mean, we know there's examples out there. The Jets are an example of what happens when you're constantly changing. The Browns, though Kevin Stefanski's been there now for a while, but they can't seem to find the right guy at quarterback. The Colts, another example. The Cardinals went through it for a little bit as well. The Panthers, oh my gosh, the Panthers. The Jaguars are about to go through it again. So when you're always pulling out pieces at the roots, but I'm a big plant girl, I love plants. So if you're constantly pulling out the roots, well, they're shallow. They don't have time to develop and get down deep, which of course is where you get, whether it's fruit, whether it's vegetables, whether it's the flowers and the blooms. If you're always pulling it out and starting over, it's gonna be not going to be a whole lot of growth there. And so, as I said last hour, what a relief to the franchises who finally find the QB, right? What a relief to the franchises who finally get the right leadership in place, and how even if you haven't yet challenged for a Super Bowl, or even if you're not where you want to go, the exhale coming out of Washington after all those years of trying to find a quarterback and the culture being toxic, now they finally have the right people in place, and it's like a new lease on life. And Commanders fans are over the moon excited, as they should be. Everett's in South Carolina. Everett, welcome to After Hours.
Amy, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. Thank you.
Listen, I really want to say one thing before I got to my topic. I really enjoyed your conversation from your home over the Christmas holidays. And
thank you.
Had an opportunity to listen to you while traveling. And I'm on the way now. I'm on the way back to South Carolina from Baltimore from refereeing a basketball game.
Oh, nice.
But I wanted to share a story about Lamar Jackson that touched my heart. And for whatever it is, you know, when tragedy happens, stars step up and show who they really are as men or people in general. You know, kudos to the people out in L.A. and the fires and what other organizations have done. But Lamar Jackson did something a couple of weeks ago. It floored me. A friend of mine that went to school with me at the University of South Carolina lost her mother. Her parents were married for 69 years.
Oh.
Her dad was a big Lamar Jackson fan. And once I found out, I got in touch with the organization and knew some people that knew Lamar. He personally put in the mail to me a uniform jersey signed by him to Mr. Hare,
Aww.
You know, sharing his, you know, his sorrow with him, but also made a phone call. And to see Mr. Hare eyes light up was one of the most gratitude anyone could do. But he was, it was a blessing, and it spared him just a little of not thinking about losing his wife for 69 years to really just putting that jersey on and seeing break down in the joy of tears. So I want to give kudos to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens and the Baltimore Ravens fans and the organization for just a class act. But that's all I wanted to say. And I love your show. So when I'm traveling late at night, I get an opportunity to listen to you, and I really enjoy just sitting and listening at your conversation, and you're very knowledgeable.
Oh, thank
you so much for what you do.
Well, be safe, Everett. Good to talk to you. I appreciate you sharing that story about Lamar. What a neat gesture. And I dare say that if you could pull back the curtain, so to speak, on professional athletes, there are a lot of them who take the time and would also make the same gesture as Lamar did. But what a neat story about this quarterback in Baltimore who's in the spotlight all the time and is obviously focused on trying to win a championship and cement his legacy and his place in the NFL and the frustration that he's run into, and said last week, maybe I'm a little bit too hyped when it comes to playoff games, and yet takes the time for someone he doesn't know to sign a jersey and make a phone call. Wow, it's one thing to sign something and send it off and not ever know the person to whom it will be delivered and the person who will receive it, but to also make a phone call, that takes time. It takes emotional energy, and I love that about Lamar Jackson. And again, I dare say there are many athletes out there whose gestures will largely go unnoticed. They're not on video. They're not on social media. Someone's not putting them on camera phone. That's cool. When people use their platform and use their resources and some of the wealth or the time, the ability that they have to bless others with no promise of a blessing in return. That's awesome. Good for Lamar, but also thanks to Everett for sharing that story. Our Monday MVP is coming up next. And speaking of Lamar, tossing touchdown passes to Mark Andrews all season long. It's kind of cool to hear Mark talk about their first playoff win of the season and why their offense has soared to new heights this year. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Fine final playoff game of the weekend, and it was completely one-sided.
First and 10 from the 13-yard line. Stafford, cool as can be, takes the snap. Looking left, comes off that read. Sidearm throw to the 9, to the 5, to the end zone! Touchdown, David Allen! Touchdown, L.A.!
209 yards, 2 scores in all from Matthew Stafford as the Rams rip the Vikings 27-9. Call courtesy of the Rams Radio Network. Kyren Williams, 76 yards rushing with a touchdown reception. The Rams defense sacked Sam Darnold 9 times, including a Jared Verse 57-yard scoop and score. Darnold 245 in the air, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, as the Rams advance to see the Eagles next weekend. Well, for the 9th time since he bought the Cowboys in 1989, Jerry Jones will be hiring a head coach and might just be a very familiar face. Reports say Jones has spoken with Deion Sanders about the job. Discussions expected to continue. This after Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys parted ways after 5 seasons and 3 playoff appearances. McCarthy was 49-35 over that span, with just 1 playoff victory. Bears and Saints reportedly interested in McCarthy. Patriots announced Mike Vrabel as their new head coach. Now, Vrabel, of course, won 3 Super Bowls during his playing days for New England, but talked about how important it was for him to earn his coaching chops outside of Foxborough.
The opportunity at one point was probably presented itself to be here coaching, but I felt like it was important to forge my own path somewhere else. And if all those experiences led me back here at the right time and the right opportunity, then that was going to be what was meant to be.
NBA Spurs too much for the Lakers, 126-102. T-Wolves roll the Wizards, 120-106, as Anthony Edwards poured in 41. Pistons took out the Knicks, 124-119. Cade Cunningham with 36. Clippers erased the Heat, 109-98. Rockets upend the Grizzlies, 120-118. And the Raptors topped the Warriors, 104-101. Baseball getting closer to a decision for Japanese pitcher Roki Sasaki. Down to 3 finalists, Dodgers, Padres, and Blue Jays. 23-year-old must make a decision before his posting window ends January 23rd. In hockey, Edmonton blanked the Kings 1-0. Flyers upend the Panthers 4-3, and the Flames ripped the Blackhawks 5-2. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Jackson will hand it off. Derrick Henry up the middle. He's in the 30, 20, leg race, gone! Touchdown, Derrick Henry! And they're going wild at M&T!
There's a lot of people out there real happy about that, though, right now. And when you can do that, you want to do it, you know, and that's pretty awesome. That's kind of, you know, Todd, the one thing about Todd I appreciate, and it's really all of our coaches, I think those guys are a great unit together, but whatever it takes, you know, we don't have to do it one certain kind of way.
I think we did a great job on that. As offense, and just playing complimentary football as a whole, as a team, and glad to get a win because the division opponent is a great team.
The voice of Derrick Henry, and before that, his head coach, John Harbaugh, his new head coach, John Harbaugh. It's amazing how well Derrick Henry acclimated and how instantly the Ravens took a major step forward. Of course, they've been a running team in the past, and Lamar, I mean, he's got his own records that he set for rushing and rushing touchdowns and yards, and man, dramatic when he gets out there in open space. It doesn't need a whole lot of open space, but can really dazzle us. And yet adding Derrick Henry to that Ravens backfield has taken that offense to a whole new level. Phenomenal to see, and I'm so happy for him because at 30 years old, that's kind of the age where teams would start to shy away and even undervalue, and the Ravens brought him in, and it's been a revelation for them. The type of offense and numbers they've been putting up this year and the way they're playing right now, even though they're not the top seed, they are a dangerous team. The final four in the AFC are all real good teams. We'll see what the Houston Texans can do. That defense has been terrific lately, so we'll see what they can do against the Chiefs. But Bills and Ravens, wowzers. It's one of those games where you think, dang, one of those teams has to lose. But that's how the playoffs are set up, which makes them so good, so delicious. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for voting for Monday MVP. Derrick Henry edging out Jaden Daniels following Wild Card Weekend. And because the Ravens offense has been so good and Derrick Henry had not just over 100 yards himself, but the Ravens had 299 yards rushing. That was the most of any team in the Wild Card round. It was cool to hear Mark Andrews. Remember when Mark Andrews didn't score a touchdown in the first 5 weeks of the regular season and people were wondering what was wrong with him and what was wrong with his connection with Lamar? Well, he is obviously a major part of why that offense is scoring lights out and putting up points and yards like nobody's business. And so he did a hit on Sirius XM NFL Radio after the Ravens win, and they were talking about what makes the offense so successful.
I think that we're, you know, able to do a lot. We have such incredible players all throughout our offense, and really starts from 8-22, but everybody else around there is, you know, our elite players. And so we're able to run the ball, pass the ball, whatever it may be. We're very blessed by having some incredible players and coaches to call those plays.
Derrick Henry didn't get over 2,000 yards, but he was pretty darn close. 1,921 yards. Wow. Two running backs with that kind of production, that prolific in 2025. Maybe it will spur this overvaluing of running backs. Remember a couple of years ago, that was the phrase, the undervaluing of running backs and the running game. And now it's definitely seen a spike. I mean, I talked about this on Monday morning, just the numbers for most of the winners in the wild card round. And the Commanders, their game was a little tighter and it wasn't quite the same flavor, but the Ravens had 299 rushing yards, the Bills 210 rushing yards, the Eagles had 169 rushing yards, I believe, somewhere in that area. And when you think about the way that the NFL is kind of tilted toward more of a running attack and more of ball control and run the ball, which then gives you the ability to keep it away from your opponents and dominate time of possession. It wasn't that long ago. We were high octane, high powered, just all about the passing attack. And now you've got winning teams that run first. That feels like old school NFL, run the ball and stop the run. But that's what the Ravens have done this year. And at nearly 188 rushing yards per game, they're tops in the NFL in that category, obviously. They're third in the NFL in scoring, better than 30 points per game. And their passing yards, they can afford to have those take a back seat. And Lamar doesn't need to be passing all the time. And it's funny because with the Eagles, as the Eagles do it, people whine about the fact that they aren't passing the ball as much. Now, they've got two terrific wide receivers, of course, but certainly Lamar has options. Zay Flowers was over 1,000 yards receiving this season, and then there's Mark Andrews, who's a Pro Bowl tight end, one of the best in the NFL. Still top 10 in passing yards, but not needing that to be successful. And also, Mark Andrews on SiriusXM was asked about getting a chance to do the tush push and the brotherly shove.
No, I'm just getting my rushing yards up. But no, it's awesome when you have guys like Tyler Linderbaum and that whole line pushing up front, and then you know the two beasts in the back with Derek and Pat Ricard. You know, that's a mean package. So they did incredible tonight, and just riding that wave, it was awesome.
Doing that direct snap so that Mark Andrews could be in, well, a huge dude, right? A load, but could be in the role of the guy who gets to push and be pushed his way into the end zone. So this can be a lot of fun. I'm not going to get into previews at this point yet, just because we have a long way to go. Certainly plenty of news around the NFL this week before we get to the next round of games, but I can't wait. And the college football national championship as well on Monday night, which we'll talk more about. Just the way that the games were. Thursday night, we talked about Penn State, Notre Dame, but then didn't have a chance to really go over Texas, Ohio State. So at some point, gosh, the way it finished was really dramatic. And so we'll talk about that and then look ahead to that championship game. So three more huge days of football coming up on the horizon. Mike is in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours. You got about 2 minutes. Go.
Hey, Amy, I just woke up. I cannot believe Dion's going to be the next coach of the Cowboys. What's going on? Can we trade Dak and get Shedeur Sanders, or am I dreaming?
I think you're dreaming. I think you might want to go back to bed, reset the alarm, start over fresh. At least according to our Cowboys insider, this wasn't even an official interview. It was just a phone call. And no doubt Jerry Jones wanted to become public with Deion Sanders because it does what? It brings him a lot of headlines. It's got a splashy hire that maybe he would consider where no one else would. According to Deion, though, he's not interested. He's happy where he is in college, has a project he's working on there in Colorado. So all that to say, I won't believe it's more than, say, a stunt or even just being leaked to the media so that it can become a headline for Jerry Jones. I won't believe it's anything more than that until it actually is signed on the dotted line. So I don't believe it for a second. I think it's more stunt. It's more hot air than it is actual substance.
Well, I'm not interested in the Cowboys job either. If they want me, I'm not interested.
Well, good thing that you declared that on our radio show so that everyone nationally knows that you're out.
Thank you, Amy. It's nice talking to you. Good morning.
You too, Mike. Good morning to you. I mean it, though. I don't believe it for a second that Mike McCarthy is going one direction and the Cowboys are going another toward Deion Sanders. I'm surprised. I mean, Troy Aikman said the same thing. He actually thought that McCarthy and the Cowboys would sign a new deal. I'm surprised, too, but I guess not surprised that if I'm Mike McCarthy, I refuse to settle for less than what I believe I'm worth, or that I don't want to have my owner slash GM, my boss, decide, oh, we need an offensive coordinator, we need this, we need that, wanting to have a little more autonomy. Now, do I think it might be a good move for the Cowboys overall? Sure. Do they need a spark? Yes. Aikman used the word stale. That's certainly a word that I've heard from people who cover the Cowboys. It's kind of been kind of boring the last 6 weeks or so. So is a change welcome? Sure. But for Deion Sanders? Heck no. That would be a stunt. And maybe it was a stunt just to get the news out there so we could react. We'll talk to you tonight. Have a great Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.